Book of Judges, chapter 9, will be starting from verse 1.
And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren, and communed with them, and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, Speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether is better for you, either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. And his mother's brethren spake of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem all these words, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, He is our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him. And he went unto his father's house at Ophrah, and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons upon one stone. Notwithstanding, yet Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself.
Gideon was a man of God. God used him mightily, but he did a couple of foolish things. One thing is married to the heathen lady that was his servant. Maybe she was very pretty. So anyhow, Bible says, do not unequally yoke. Even though he has 70 children, he says, but it sounds like more than 70, because if the 70 sons were killed and one was hiding and Abimelech is another, means it looks like a 72 children. But if they didn't count properly when they were killing and they just killed 69 and thinking they killed 70, then it will be 71 children. But anyhow, this man, Abimelech, when the father dies, he start thinking. I don't know he was a first son or middle son or what was his age, but the youngest one was escaped. So now he goes to his mother's house. Now mother has brothers and father's relatives and all of those people, they're all heathen. So now he goes and tells them, you know what? My father died, but he has 70 sons. You want all of those sons to rule over you? Or you want only one person ruling over you? And I'm your flesh and I'm your bones, so I'm your relative, so you should support me. And those people start thinking, hey, it's a good thing. He's our man and we can select him and he will be our king. So what they did, they went to their idol temple and took some money and gave it to him, and he hired some people who are worthless, means they were not godly people, they were not warriors, but whatever the money he got, he gave it to those people, he hired them, and then he comes with those bad people and kills his brother on one rock, all of them, and merciless kills them. Now some people will be thinking, why this happened to the man of God? Because he served the people for 40 years and there was a peace and God was pleased with this man, but end of his ministry he did foolish things, and we learned last week. Now he made an idol of gold. He said ephod, but actually it was idol. They kept it there and everybody started worshiping, and the word of God says because he made the idols, now God is going to punish him and his children will be punished. And exactly happened. So now this Abimelech goes to his town Shechem and encourage people to support him, and they said, okay, we'll support him. And see what happens. The youngest brother who left, when they make him a king, there was no king in Israel. These were all heathen people, they were king. So now he is thinking, I'm the king of Israel, but he ruled 3 years only. And I was thinking, why God gave him 3 years? He should have been killed long time ago. But sometimes God gives time to those people to rule so the other people can see how he rules. And he starts giving hard time to his own people. And that's why other people got so mad. And the word of God says, God sent the evil spirit. Actually, God does not do any evil thing. But see what happens, whatever you sow, that you're going to reap. And so the enemy always, when you do something, for example, when there is a dirty water, always the mosquito or something will come. Nobody puts him there, but this is the nature. So when this Abimelech start doing wrong thing, the evil spirit got into their kingdom, and now both parties are going to have problems. So let's read from verse 6.
And all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Millo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim, and lifted up his voice, and cried, and said unto them, Hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you.
Now here, they already took this Abimelech, took it to the temple, and there is a pillar in one of the town, and they anointed him as a king. Then somebody comes and tells Jotham, the Gideon's youngest son, hey, your brother is king now. Now he knows that he already killed 70 of his brother or 69 of his brother, and he will kill him. But he wants to prophesy. Actually prophesy, the word of God says, he cursed them. What did he say? He told them, you know what? He gave an example we will be reading. He gave an example. There are some trees coming and asking the aloe tree to reign over them. Now the tree doesn't talk and tree doesn't walk, but this is just the story he's giving. And he wants to give the message with this story. Let's read. Verse 8.
The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them, and they said unto the olive tree, Reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, Should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees? And the trees said to the fig tree, Come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, Should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, Come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, Should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees?
Here are three different kinds of trees mentioned. Aloe tree, and then a fig tree, and a grapes. Why? These are all good trees, and they all help mankind, and they are used oil for blessing, and God also used it in the temple. The point I'm making, all these trees are coming and asking the good trees, come and be our king. And all of these trees gave an example. We are not going to give up our blessing and come and reign over you, because they understood these are the bad people or bad trees. So now these people are desperate. Who are the people? These trees. They are desperate, and they're going to now the other tree who is giving thorns and thistles and bad tree. They are going and telling, could you reign over us? So they are desperate. So this tree said, okay, I will reign over you. Verse 14.
Then said all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, If in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon.
These trees are saying, now I don't know you saw this kind of tree. As I told you last time, that this kind of tree we saw in India. And my grandfather told me, son, never plant that tree in front of our house. He was giving me idea. If you plant. I was not planting, but he was giving me idea. He said, never plant this kind of tree in front of your house. What will happen? While coming and going, they can destroy your clothes. So it's a terrible tree. But my grandfather took me to the one farm, and we planted almost 60, 70 mango trees. But the point I'm making, these thorny trees are not good. They are only good for burning. So here, the tree, they agree. They say, okay, we will reign over you, but only one thing, you have to trust in us, and you have to come and abide in my shadow, or make a tent, live with us. And that's the promise you have to make. But if you don't do it, then the fire will come from us, and we will burn you. Now, this story, this Jotham is giving to these people. He is standing on the mountain, no loudspeaker, nothing, but he using his voice and talking to those people and telling them, this is what the message is. And then he tells them, if you listen and if you change, God will bless you. But if not, this Abimelech is your brother, but he is going to destroy you. And you will not like him, and you destroy him, and this is what's going to happen. So this is the prophecy, but actually he is angry, so he is cursing those people. Okay, let's read verse 16.
Now therefore, if you have done truly and sincerely in that you have made Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands, for my father fought for you and adventured his life far and delivered you out of the hand of Midian. And ye are risen up against my father's house this day and have slain his sons 70 persons upon one stone and have made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem because he is your brother. If ye then have dealt truly and sincerely with Jerubbaal and with his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech and let him also rejoice in you. And let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Millo and devour Abimelech.
Said, listen, even though he is my brother, and if you people kindly stay with each other peacefully, without fighting, without war, that will be fine. But if you start fighting with each other, he's going to destroy you and you're going to destroy him. And that will be the end of it. And after this thing, this Jotham runs away, hiding, and we'll never read about him. What did he do? What happened to him? There is no story given about him. But whatever he said exactly happened. Let's read verse 21.
And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech his brother. When Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech.
Now see, 3 years he ruled over Israel. Israeli people, even though he ruled over them forcefully, they were not happy. In the Bible, his name is not given as a judge because he was a king, and he was a wicked king, and he did everything evil. So God did not approve his ministry. He started thinking, I'm a king and I'm going to rule the Israeli people, but his ministry was not honored by God. Same way you see today. There are so many people get into the ministry. Sometimes they go and get a training somewhere, come back and start doing the ministry. If you don't have a calling for the serving the Lord, you can be very wise person, you can be very educated person, but if you are not called by God, your ministry will not be fruitful. You see mega church, so many big churches, but if they are not called by God, within a 3 years, 5 years, some scandal comes, very bad ones, and they have to give up their ministry or they have to go to jail. That's the example of this Abimelech. is not chosen by God. He's chosen by bad people who are not godly, and he got reckless people in his army, worthless people. Nobody can hire them for any job. And that's the kind of military he took it. And now he is thinking, I'm a king, and he wants to rule over these people. And I was thinking, why God allow him even the 3 years? But the 3 years, the word of God said, the evil spirit came and start working among them. And the evil spirit start working in his life. So now they start fighting with each other. And see what happens. Verse 24.
Then the cruelty done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and their blood be laid upon Abimelech their brother, which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brethren. And the men of Shechem set liers in wait for him in the top of the mountains. And they robbed all that came along that way by them. And it was told Abimelech. And Gaal the son of Ebed came with his brethren and went over to Shechem. And the men of Shechem put their confidence in him.
This is one another person, Gaal. He is not a king. He's not even a judge or anything. He comes to that town, Shechem, and he start telling these people, hey, this Abimelech is not a good person. He's not a good king. He's destroying you. So we should destroy him, and I'll be your king. But God did not allow him to be king. This is not a God's man. So all this is evil spirit working among them. What the evil spirit does, the Bible says, St. John chapter 10, verse 10, enemy comes, kill, steal, and destroy. This is what the enemy does. And so this Abimelech, as well as Gaal, these all are devil's people and trying to destroy each other. They have no love for Abimelech. Abimelech doesn't have love for the people of Shechem. And the people of Shechem thinking, this Gaal is a good man. He might rescue us and he will be our king. So see what happens when the God's hand is not upon you and a God's blessing is not upon you. You thinking that you are a king and you are doing something good, but destruction comes. Let's read verse 27.
And they went out into the fields and gathered their vineyards and trod the grapes and made merry and went into the house of their God and did eat and drink and cursed Abimelech.
Now see, these Gaal people come to this Shechem town. Then they go to the field, get some grapes, make the wine, gets very happy and joyful, and goes to their temple, and then start doing evil thing. Just like Muslim. They go to their mosque, and once they worship and come out, and then go and kill people. This is an example. They're coming to temple, they're eating and drinking, and now they're planning a bad stuff. When you go to church, and you coming out of the church, you should be transformed. You should be happy. You learn something. You are going to do something for the Lord. But you go to the temple or go to the mosque, what you're learning? Kill somebody. Destroy somebody. And that's what they're doing. And that's what they're thinking in that temple. Verse 28.
And Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, who is Abimelech and who is Shechem, that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Jerubbaal, and Zebul his officer? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for why should we serve him? And would to God this people were under my hand, then would I remove Abimelech. And he said to Abimelech, increase thine army and come out. And when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled.
This Gaal talked to the people of Shechem. They agreed with him, let's go and destroy the Abimelech. But what the God's idea is, because they destroy the Gideon's 70 sons, and now God is angry, and God sent this evil spirit among them, not only to destroy Abimelech, but to destroy the people of Shechem. So now this is working. Now the Gaal is saying, let's go and destroy the Abimelech, so I'll be your king. And so they are planning to do the evil thing. Now, this girl, the man, he is giving the challenge to the Abimelech. He said, hey, get some of your army, get your people, and come to fight. And I'm going to fight with you. When I'm learning this, even the Abimelech, a man, studied from some of the tactic from his father. Because his father was a warrior. So he's a warrior's son. So he knows how to fight. He learned how to fight just learning how his father was doing. Gaal is not going to defeat him, but he had a lot of power, but their mouth talked too much and make so many problems. So here he gives invitation to the Abimelech, bring your warriors and we are going to fight with you and see what happens. Verse 31.
And he sent messengers unto Abimelech privily, saying, behold, Gaal the son of Ebed and his brethren be come to Shechem, and behold, they fortify the city against thee. Now therefore up by night, thou and the people that is with thee, and lie in wait in the field.
See, always there is somebody to doing mischiefs. There is somebody from the town going and telling Abimelech, do you know the Gaal? He is going to fight with you and he is going to destroy you. He has his army and they are ready to fight. And he already gave you the invitation to come and fight. So now be watchful because they are going to come from the city. So you should attack them, and he's preparing the other guy. Okay, let's read. Verse 33.
And it shall be that in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, thou shalt rise early and set upon the city. And behold, when he and the people that is with him come out against thee, then mayest thou do to them as thou shalt find occasion. And Abimelech rose up, and all the people that were with him by night, and they laid wait against Shechem in four companies. And Gaal the son of Ebed went out, and stood in the entering of the gate of the city, and Abimelech rose up, and the people that were with him, from lying in wait. And when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, behold, there come people down from the top of the mountains. And Zebul said unto him, thou seest the shadow of the mountains, as if they were men.
Now see, Abimelech is coming with his group, Gaal is waiting, and there is another man in between telling him something wrong information. So now he says, the Gaal says, I see some people coming from the mountain. He said, no, those not the people. That is just the shadow of the mountain. They are not enemies. Then again he says, hey, I see the people are coming. Then he cannot hide. He said, okay, they are coming. But now they are not prepared. Now the enemies are coming. The Abimelech people are coming. And they are alert, and they know they got the news where the enemies are and how to destroy them. And so this is all the evil tactic and trying to destroy each other. Okay, verse 37.
And Gaal spake again and said, see, there come people down by the middle of the land, and another company come along by the plain of Maonanim. Then said Zebul unto him, where is now thy mouth, wherewith thou saidst, who is Abimelech, that we should serve him? Is not this the people that thou hast despised? Go out, I pray now, and fight with them. And Gaal went out before the men of Shechem and fought with Abimelech.
Now, this person is encouraging him. He said, hey, we don't like Abimelech. You should go and fight with him and you should destroy him. And this man didn't have that much army, but he had ideas that I'm going to destroy him, no power, nothing, and he goes to the fight, but Abimelech destroys him. Okay, verse 40.
And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him, and many were overthrown and wounded, even unto the entering of the gate. And Abimelech dwelt at Armah, and Zebul thrust out Gaal and his brethren, that they should not dwell in Shechem. And it came to pass on the morrow that the people went out into the field, and they told Abimelech. And he took the people and divided them into three companies, and laid wait in the field, and looked, and behold, the people were come forth out of the city. And he rose up against them and smote them.
See, he did exactly his father did. His father had 300 people, and he divided in three groups. He didn't destroy the enemies. Now, this Abimelech got the idea. He said, listen, we also do the same thing. Let's divide the three groups and let's destroy these people. Now, who are these people are destroying? They are not destroying the enemy. He's destroying his own people, own countrymen, and who made him king. And he's destroying his own people, and see what's going to happen. Verse 44.
And Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood in the entering of the gate of the city, and the two other companies ran upon all the people that were in the fields and slew them. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city and slew the people that was therein and beat down the city and sowed it with salt.
Now see, this man destroyed all the people in the city and took a salt and put it all over the city, just like a curse whole city. Verse 46.
And when all the men of the tower of Shechem heard that, they entered into an hold of the house of the god Bereth. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. And Abimelech got him up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people that were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand, and cut down a bough from the trees, and took it and laid it on his shoulder, and said unto the people that were with him, "What ye have seen me do, make haste and do as I have done."
What these people are doing, they're thinking if you go to the god, their idol, that God will help us. And they're going to the temple, they're going to the tower, they're going to ask their God to help from Abimelech. And so Abimelech says, do what I do, and what you see me doing, do it. Exactly, Gideon did it. You remember? Gideon said, I'm going to take the pitcher. You take the pitcher. You put a lamp. I'll put the lamp. I'll get the trumpet. And you get the trumpet. And do what I do. When I blow the trumpet, you do it. If I break the vessel, you do it. So this man saw his father doing. Now he got an idea. He said he cut the branch of the tree, put it on his shoulder, and told the people, do what I do. And exactly everybody cut the branches, and they are bringing their branches of trees, and they wanted to put it at the gate of the city and put the fire. So those days, they had the fence all around the city. So maybe 10 feet, 12 feet, fire is coming, fire and smoke, you're going to die. So he killed so many people. Let's read the verse 49.
And all the people likewise cut down every man his bough and followed Abimelech and put them to the hold and set the hold on fire upon them, so that all the men of the tower of Shechem died also, about 1,000 men and women. Then went Abimelech to Thebez and encamped against Thebez and took it. But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women and all they of the city and shut it to them and gat them up to the top of the tower.
Okay, now see, he destroyed the people, one town, another town, set the fire, killed the people. Now he's thinking, I'm winning. He doesn't have a god, but he's thinking, I'm winning, and I'm going to destroy everybody. If you destroy your own people, and your own people and old town is destroyed, how are you going to be king? If the pastor start telling everybody, get out of my church, I don't love you, I don't like you, and start beating everybody and start kicking everybody, and everybody left the empty church, who is the pastor of? You have to have a sheep to be a shepherd. If you don't have a sheep, you cannot be shepherd. And so now this person doesn't have any idea, I need my people. So he is trying to destroy and kill people. So now they are coming to another town, and they also have a tower. And some people start thinking, we are going to go to tower and we will be safe there. But he is coming there also to destroy them. Verse 52.
And Abimelech came unto the tower and fought against it, and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull.
Now here he is coming to set the fire and destroy the people. And the lady from the tower, she took a millstone and put it on his head, and his skull was broken. I was thinking, this man, his skull is broken, still he is talking. He's talking to one of the armor bearer. He said, hey, the lady put a big stone on my head and I'm going to die. I don't want anybody telling the lady killed me. It's shameful. So you kill me. How foolish he should say, oh, put some bandage or hold my head or try to save me. But he was so proud, man. He doesn't want anybody to know that the lady killed him. So he said, you kill me. And then that man, young man, killed him. And this man died like a fool. When you do not have the love for your own brethren, your father's own children you kill. And now you're going and enticing the other people, your mother's family members. He said, I'm yours and you are mine and let's be together. And he kills them too. And so now, this foolishly, he got killed by a woman. Okay, verse 54.
Then he called hastily unto the young man, his armor bearer, and said unto him, draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me a woman slew him. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man unto his place. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father, in slaying his 70 brethren.
See, here the word of God is saying, this is the way God took revenge of Abimelech, because he killed his 70 children and Abimelech's 70 brothers. So when what you sow, that you're going to reap. And that's the example in this chapter, that man did evil thing, thinking that he's going to be a king, did not work for within a 3 years. He had a lot of problem, 3 years fighting and war, no peace, nothing, and died like a fool, and no peace, and curse of God came. Verse 57.
And all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads, and upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal.
See, again he is saying how he died and how he was destroyed because the Jerubbaal's son, Jotham, young brother, gave the warning to these people. Listen, this boy, this man is wicked. He's going to destroy you. And you don't listen to my preaching or my message, you people are going to destroy each other. And they didn't listen. I don't know how Jotham came to know, but he is his brother, and 70 brothers, 71 or 72 people, and they might be fighting in war in the house, because brother, brother, they fight. Bible says brothers are born for war. They fight each other. So here, he knew this youngest brother was watching how the Abimelech is treating his brothers and what kind of evil brother he is. So he warned those people. They didn't take the warning, so he cursed them. This is what's going to happen. He's going to kill you, you're going to kill him, and there will be destruction coming. And the word of God says exactly happened whatever the Jotham said. So see, sometimes they want to do certain things for their glory and their power and their power hungry. But if it is not from the Lord, it doesn't do any good to them. Their destruction comes. And this, the chapter finishes there. We are going to start another chapter. It's a very small chapter. Judges chapter 10, starting from verse 1.
And after Abimelech there arose to defend Israel Tola, son of Puah, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir.
Now see, now this Tola, only two verses in the Bible talks about him. His name is given, his father's name is given, and he is coming from the Issachar, the tribe of Issachar. That's the only thing we know, and he living in the mountain of Ephraim. So you're living in a mountain, you are a mountain boy, you are strong and healthy. Anybody lives in a mountain area, they get a fresh air. And if you eat good food and fresh air, you'll be strong and healthy. So he was maybe healthy and strong man. So after Abimelech died, he did not want any other enemy taking over, so he showed his power. I don't know what kind of people he defeated, nothing is saying, but he ruled the people almost 23 years. Can you imagine? Other guy, Abimelech, was hardly can rule 3 years. This man ruled 23 years. And nothing, no more story about him. He's a very minor judge. Verse 3.
And after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts, and they had 30 cities, which are called Havoth-Jair unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Kamon.
Okay, now his story finishes within 3 verses. Now this man, Jair, he's Gileadite, and he judged 22 years. It's not an ordinary thing. His story is only thing he says about him. He has 30 sons. Now 30 sons and 30 donkeys. Now the donkeys is like a car, you know. Each person has their own car. So they have like 30 cars. And now they are going around. And they got 30 villages or towns on their name. Maybe father says, this town is yours, this town is yours. And 30 people got 30 towns. And they became very famous. And the word of God says that that town is still in Israel. I don't know, I didn't travel there, but they give the name of the town and is still there, he says. Okay, verse 6.
And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served not him.
Within a short period of time, Gideon was ruling for 40 years, 3 years Abimelech, then 23 years that Tola, and 22 years Jair. Now, this many years, they had peace and no enemies coming. Now these people are this many years past, almost more than 80 years, and they forgot God. Gideon's father was worshiping one god, Baal god. But these people start worshiping, you have to count these gods, 6 or 7 different countries' god. And I was thinking, Philistine also had a god, Moab had the god, Zidon has the god, Syria has the god. Now see, in those days, Syrian people were idol worshippers. Philistine people were idol worshippers. But today if you go to Syria, they are not idol there, but they worship Allah. And these Philistine people also worship Allah. What happened? If you go to Afghanistan, they had all Buddhist people and Hindu people, and they are all the Hindu different kinds of arts and different kinds of things. But these Muslim people went there and they destroy everything. And the Syria also, they had some goddess and things like that, because here he says Syrian people used to worship the goddess and gods. So they, Muslim people, destroy that also. And then some Americans start saying, we'll build the god for them. This is all foolish. But the point I'm making, all these people were worshipping heathen gods, not one, but a half a dozen gods. Israeli people, they were not satisfied with the one god. Now they are worshipping all gods. And if you go to India, do you know how many gods they have? 33 million. So here we see, now they are worshipping half a dozen different gods, and their life is miserable. Verse 7.
And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon.
Now, the God's anger was very hot. And what did he say? He sold them to the Philistines and Ammonites people. And God says, okay, now you take these people and Do whatever you want with these people because I am angry. When God is angry, you are not going to be blessed. Okay. Verse 8.
And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years. All the children of Israel that were on the other side of Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead.
Now see how many years they suffered? 18 years. Now 18 years, these enemies, now two different kinds of enemies, Ammonites and Philistines. They are cruel people. They were coming and destroying these Israeli people. Now see what other Israeli people were suffering here. Let's read verse 9.
Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed.
Now see, they were against Judah, they were against Benjamin, they were against Ephraim, and they were very, very scared about these Philistines and Ammonites. And all these people, you know, Benjamin and Ephraim and Judah, they are warriors. They are strong people. But if God is not with you, you are helpless. Now they are helpless and they don't know what to do because God says, okay, destroy these people. So 18 years, these people are suffering. Verse 10.
And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam.
Now, they are crying to God and they're saying, you know what, God? We forsake you. We didn't worship you. And we are going after another God. They are not saying half a dozen God. They are just saying, we are worshiping Balaam. But they are worshiping half a dozen gods. And they are now crying to God. And they learn one thing. You know what? We can do whatever we want to do. And they just cry to God and say, Lord, please rescue us. And he comes to rescue. That's what the Christian people learn today. You go whatever you want to do and just say a simple prayer, Lord, forgive me. And tomorrow I'm going to do the same thing. It doesn't work. You cannot go in a circle. That's what the Christian life is. Once you are born again, the word of God says, forsake your sins. We have to forsake the sins and follow God. But what these people are doing, they are not forsaking their sins. They forsake for a while and they take it back. And now God is really angry and they are saying, Lord, please help us. See what God is saying. Verse 11.
And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines? The Zidonians also, the Amalekites and the Maonites did oppress you, and he cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand.
Now God is saying, he gives the name of all the other people who were harassing them and bothering them. He says, I deliver you from each and every country. The Egyptians, the Palestinians, and Ammonites, and Moabites, and all kinds of people. He delivered them. And why don't you understand that when I deliver you from their hands and their God, you're going back to them. And the Bible says in a Second Peter, he says, the people who backslidden, they are like pigs and dogs. Pig, you can get a pig, wash, shampoo, perfume and everything, and leave that pig alone. That pig goes running to the water and dirt and mud. And the dog, you feed the dog good food and everything, stomach full, and he vomits, and he doesn't think that my master has a lot of food he'll give. He vomits and he starts eating that food. So this is the habit of dog and a pig. Knowingly, you commit sin, knowingly, then you have more punishment. And so this is what's happening. Now see what God is saying, verse 13.
Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods, wherefore I will deliver you no more.
Now God is saying, you know what? You have forsaken me. You going after another God. I'm not going to help you anymore. Now if God says I'm not going to do it, And then he do it and say, hey, God lied or something. No, God did not want these people to go astray. But God is still loving and kind. Your child does something and you said, I'm not going to give you food because you did not obey me. How long you are not going to give food? If you don't give, the child is going to die. Some parents let the child die. But the good parents, if they skip only 1 hour or so, they will feel bad. We are eating. The child is suffering. They say, okay, next time you don't do that, okay? Come on and eat. So here God is saying, I'm not going to help you anymore. This is God's children. God loves the children of God. But he has to give them punishment. So now they are punished for 18 years. And now the time has come to come to God. Okay, verse 14.
Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day.
Now here God says, you know what? Go to your gods. Let that God help you. I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to listen to you. You are worshipping those gods? Let those gods help you. Pray to them. Let them help you. Okay, let's read the verse 16.
And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel.
When God says, go and worship their God and ask that God in a time of trouble, let them help. Now they said, Lord, we know this, those gods are not helping. So they gave up the idol worship and they start worshiping God, and God didn't do anything yet. Then God started looking at them and felt sorry. These people gave up heathen God, still other people are harassing them, and the word of God says, God feel grieved in his spirit. God is grieving in his heart. These people now gave up other God, worshipping me, and still they are under the bondage. Now 18 years happened, and God is grieved, and God wants to help these people. Verses 17 and 18.
Then the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead, and the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people and princes of Gilead said one to another, what man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead.
Now see, these people all already gave up the heathen God. They are worshiping God. God is grieved. God wants to help. But now all the enemies all surrounding them. And the people are so scared. They're saying, who will lead us? In this chapter, we don't know who the leader is. But the God willing, chapter 11, we will find God gives them a leader. We will see what kind of leader that was. But the point I'm making, God is a good God. When you go through all kinds of trials and tribulations and problems, what the word of God says, call upon me and I'll answer you. Our God is a prayer answering God. If you committing sin, if you're living in sin, you can bang your head, bleed to death and pray, God is not going to listen. You remember Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2? He says, my hand is not shut, my ears are not deaf. Why am I not listening? Because your sin came between you and me. So the sin is blocking your prayer. So you have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to ask forgiveness for my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. I'm making a new decision, a new commitment. No more evil things. No more sinful activity, and I'm going to love you and follow you. God will answer your prayer. So now these people are suffering and asking God to help us, and God gives them the leader in the next chapter. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Our God is a good God. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for giving us grace bless your people, supply their needs, protect them from all the dangers and harms. Let us live for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.